a shot in the dark. Wary sort of spark. I'm a light that's too bright for me to see.
Welcome back to The Counter Position. I am your humble host, Andrew Whaley, here on Breadbox Media. All right, kids, here we go. Episode 186. It seems like there's something more going on than just 186. What was it? There was something special coming up. What was that? I'm trying to remember. Oh, yeah. It's only the Counter Position's birthday. Boom. 1 year. 1 year old. The show is 1 year old. 1 year old. That's amazing. It's an anniversary. The 1 year. But I like to think of it as a birthday. Maybe we should sing happy birthday to the Counter Position. 1 year, July 6th, 2015 was the very first show. Today is the Counter Position's birthday. I'm kind of stoked on it. I didn't know it was going to be emotional. I'm kind of emotional. I'm stoked on this. So yeah, 1 year I've been doing this. We're going to kind of, I kind of thought about doing like some big crazy stuff for the 1 year anniversary, but I think I'm going to hold off, and I've got some crazy stuff up my sleeve for episode 200. That's the milestone we're going to get crazy with. On the 1 year anniversary, I wanted to be more personal. I wanted to be more of a family conversation. Today my plan is, and normally the way I do my show, if I'm not interviewing someone, is I've got my pile of things, which is it's my stack of stuff, but I don't want to cross any possible copyrights with Rush Limbaugh. So I got my stack of stuff. I got my pile of things. I got a digital pile of things sometimes. And then I have like some bullet points, right? And, you know, I just put some bullet points out on my yellow legal pad that I have been addicted to since I was a young man. Yellow legal pads are like everywhere in my world. I mean, they are like my life. I buy these really nice journals and I just never write in them. I have a new Kogan Quill journal that I bought because I'm like, I was so in love with it, and I haven't even written in it yet. I just keep filling it. At some point I'm just going to embrace the yellow legal pad and just go, you know what? I don't use Moleskine's. I don't use Kogan Quill. I don't use Field Notes. I don't use all the cool journals. I don't. I use yellow legal pads. I'm just going to just embrace it at some point. But I still have this idea of carrying a nice journal. So normally I have stuff that I want to get to, that I want to talk about. I've got bullet points. I've got articles. I've got commentary. I've got things to rant on, things to muse on. And I have it set up that what I want to get to. I know it doesn't sound like that most of the time. And sometimes it is a little more supple, shall we say. but today, you know what I got? I got nothing today. I have nothing on the agenda that I have to get to. I purposely gave myself zero notes. I have a computer open in front of me, but just in case I get an email or something that I need to see. And today what I want to do, instead of a big shindig, you know, fireworks and candles and all that, on this 1 year anniversary, and I know I've already done this a little bit, you know, but I just want to talk about the show. I want to talk about you guys. I want to talk about myself and how this has affected my life. I want to talk about my excitement and my disappointments on the first year. I want to set out some plans for the rest of the show as it goes forward, and what my hopes and dreams are for the show. And then I want to invite some critique. I want to invite some input. I want to hear from the most important people in this equation, which is you, the people who come and listen to this. And I want to, so that's today, the show is about the show. Today, the show is about the Counter Position. So there we go. Counter Position birthday show coming up. All right. So, and like I said, I know I've already done this in a sense of like, I did the state of the show address at one point, But that was more, you know, and this is going to repeat some of that, but it's just something that I want to do. So if you're listening for the first time, you probably want to go listen to some other shows and then come back and listen to this one, because this one's not going to be crazy interesting, I don't think, unless you've been a listener for a little bit. Because this is kind of, I'm talking about something that we've shared in common here. So I want to start by telling a story, telling the kind of how the show came about. So I have been, I'm going to go before the show. I'm going to go farther back. As far as I can remember, I have been, shall we say, built for broadcast. It annoys the living hell out of the people around me. I just talk all the time, and I'll get talking about something, and if you don't stop me, if you don't cut in, I will just keep going, and I will tell an anecdote, and then I will bring in a JP2 quote, and I will just keep going, and that will lead me to something else, and I have no concept of linear time. Just like, I have no idea. I'm late for everything because I just don't really understand how long anything takes. I don't know that internal clock. There was an article that came out not too long ago that said that's a sign of mental illness or psychosis, and that might be the case. But I just don't really have a clear internal clock. And I have a lot of ideas, and I think out loud. I think out loud all the time, and I'm the kind of person that processes out loud. I'm constantly thinking, so I'm constantly talking, right? Now, I was blessed with attention deficit disorder, and that combined with a natural wonder, combined with an irreplaceable liberal education at Thomas Aquinas College, which taught me that everything is connected and everything bears on each other. Now, I may not agree with the completely at all times with that that particular version of the Thomistic picture of the world, but the fact that math has something to do with politics, has something to do with theology, has something to do with ethics, has something to do with nutrition, you know, all these things are something that kind of emerged in me while at Thomas Aquinas College. And so I see the world as very, very connected. And so ideas spark between each other for me. It's just always been that way. And so I get going, and I get on a rant, or I get on a muse, and I get going. And sometimes I'm behind the bar and I'm pulling shots and I'm making coffee and stuff. And I'm just thinking out loud, and wherever people come in, they dip into the show and then they leave. It's just a Whaley show going on. Right. And over the course of time, different people have told me, you should really do Catholic radio. That's just, you have a fresh voice, you have a different take on things, and you have a good voice for it. And I think that you could really get good at that craft, and you should do Catholic radio. And so I went out and I listened to some Catholic radio over time, and I just thought it was abysmal for the most part. I hated it. It was boring. The people there didn't in any way represent the people that I spend my time with, or the people that I aspire to be, for the most part. Now, it's gotten better. It's evolved in the last 5-10 years. But I can remember someone trying to get me, I think it was to go to Cincinnati or something. There was some kind of opening in Cincinnati, and I managed to listen to some shows that were on this station. And I was just like, I mean, it's all catechesis. It's just these people doing a topical catechesis, and then they go to the phones, and then people call in, and someone wrote a book about Mother Teresa, and a person calls in while they're being interviewed and asks about their annulment. And I'm like, why would a person who wrote a book about Mother Teresa know about annulments? You know, I just thought, well, I don't know anything about annulments, and I really don't want to get, and if I did start studying annulments, I start getting fascinated about the idea of marriage, and I would start getting, and I would go underneath it and start looking at all the ideas on, I'm not interested in studying the canon law of annulments just in case someone calls in and asks a question. It wasn't something that attracted to me. It attracted me. It just wasn't, I looked at Catholic radio and I said to myself, I cannot do what they would want me to do. And they would be either A, offended, or B, bored to tears by what I would do. And so it just kind of came, I just kind of put it off. About once a year, once every 6 months, we'd be talking, I'd be working with someone, they'd be in media, and they go, you know, you really ought to do radio. Why don't you do, and I'd say, well, radio would just be, if I did talk radio, I'm not shouty and bullet pointy enough and for conservative radio, and I'm too conservative and I'm a Catholic, so they wouldn't want me on NPR or anything, and I just, you know, maybe I'll do a podcast or something, you know? So I thought about, you know, I looked into podcasts and stuff like that. I thought about maybe doing that. And then, it just never really emerged. It just, nothing really happened. I never took seriously that this could be a place where I could find my voice, right? That I could, find a craft that I could develop and work on. Right. And that, heaven forbid, it could become something real and kind of intimate between me and a group of people that wanted to hear what I wanted to say. It just didn't occur to me, but you know, things happened and things, realities emerge, opportunities came along, and that's what we're going to talk about in the second segment. I'm going to tell you about how this show kind of emerged and how this entered my life. So, you're listening to The Counterposition. Let's go ahead and go to the break. I am your host, Andrew Whaley, and we'll be back in just a second. So, I'll see you on the other side.
I'm a sacred word to mutter. Ran too fast and turned to butter. I'm a bit too much for me to chew.
Breadbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit breadboxmedia.com.
I'm a skip across the pond. I'm an ocean on and on. I'm a fish with no bowl that I outgrew. Lift my blood. Only one on
track. Welcome back to The Counterposition. I am your humble host, Andrew Whaley, here on Breadbox Media. All right, so I'm going to adjust this here microphone a little bit here. If you get some mic noise, I apologize. It's making my back hurt. All right, so we're telling a story of the show. I was telling you about kind of who I was. Super, super talkative little kid. Dad, you should just yell at me all the time. Why do you talk so much? Why would you shut up? Every teacher conference that I ever had, he's really smart, really glad to have him in class. We like him. He just will not shut up. I went to Thomas Aquinas College. We had Don Rags, and you know, every single Don Rag where all your professors give you feedback in front of you. It's like, Mr. Whaley can be a dominating force in class. I mean, you know, we don't have a trouble getting Mr. Whaley to speak up. I just talk. I do. I admit it. I have tried to not talk so much. There's nothing more annoying than me just carrying on than me sitting in the corner trying not to carry on. I mean, it's annoying. It annoys me. It annoys everyone around me. It's just, this talky guy is just kind of who I am. Now, as I talked about earlier, especially in conversation, I'm really dedicating myself to learning how to harness this superpower, to not just be shooting lasers out of my eyes all the time. But I'm also dedicated to kind of really learning how to really shoot some strong, focused, powerful lasers out of my eyes too. To really hone my ability through this medium, you know? So let's get back to the story of the show. So after two business tragedies in a row, I built and lost two shops right in a row under very different circumstances and for very different reasons. And I was just feeling like I was living under a curse sign. And I went back to consulting full time, started working on my apostolate calyx, and I ended up in Denver, Colorado. And I ended up running the coffee house at the Augustine Institute, Tole Leje, at 6160 South Syracuse Way, Greenwood Village, Colorado, 7:30 to 5, Monday through Friday. And so I was just hanging out, and the first thing that kind of happened, I started developing my kind of conversational style and kind of like doing the Whaley show from behind the counter there, so to speak, you know, just kind of like ranting and musing and talking to people that would come in. And it's an interesting mix. You got kind of where office workers that are not down for the whole Catholic thing or whatever, that are initially really freaked out by a super Catholic place being in their building or next door. You got kind of, Catholics from within, the very conservative kind of, you know, choir Catholics that work in ministry all the time. Lots of people from Focus and people from different worlds like that coming in. And then just kind of, you know, the random people off Yelp that are finding, finding good coffee in the southern third of the metro area where there's just not a lot of craft coffee. I think we're the only real craft coffee bar down there unless you go far, far off the highway. So just kind of a weird conversation, people kind of dipping in, you know, talking about stuff. And I'm ranting and musing and talking and everything. And so then pretty early on, an interesting conversation began, and I started becoming friends with Mark Giesecheck. So shout out to Mark Giesecheck. There's going to be a ton of shout outs today. I'm just going to literally try to thank everybody that comes to the top of my head, because the main thing that I want to communicate in this show today is that I am so grateful for the counter position. So shout out to Mark Giesecheck, who is on sabbatical up in Michigan right now, hanging out with Billy Kangas at Cultivate Coffee and Tap House. Shout out to Billy Kangas, the other Catholic coffee guy. And so Mark and I started talking, and we would talk over the counter. He would sit at the tasting bar that I built. I built a 5-seat tasting bar around the espresso machine so that the barista working could engage with people sitting there while they were making drinks. Stickiness, connectivity, and volume at the same time, something I'm kind of addicted to in different forms with my design of shops. So Mark started sitting there and coming in, getting coffee. And we started talking, and we were literally talking over the counter. So I was making his coffee. He was sitting there. I'm making other people's coffee. He's sitting there. People started sitting down, started listening to us. And we started having these really interesting wonder-driven conversations, because Mark is a really intelligent human being and, has a real serious amount of wonder left in him. And really loves reality and sees kind of a lot of things as very interesting and connected. And so we started talking about everything under the sun just for the fun of it. It's just kind of what we did. He would come down for coffee, and I'm like, hey, did you read that article about baseball fields and small neighborhoods and how that changed the, you know, oh, I saw on the Atlantic. Yeah, I saw that. You know, it was like, you know, just, and we started noticing that people would kind of stop and listen to us. Right. So the weird idea came to start a podcast. And so Mark Giesecheck and I started the now somewhat abandoned Mea Culpa, over the counter podcast. And so Mark and I did a podcast, which the design of the podcast was, it was two Catholic intellectuals, one of them a scholar, Mark, the other one kind of this crazy philosophy and business guy, me, and we're both Catholic intellectuals thinking from Catholic principles, but we didn't talk about theology, we didn't talk about the culture war, and we didn't talk about politics, which is what makes up, you know, 90% of Catholic radio. It's what makes up a decent portion of this show. Nothing wrong with it, but there was just, that was out there so much that we thought that it'd be fun to just let people hear what it looks like. I mean, cause people, I think people in America think that if you're like a full on conservative, real Catholic, you sit around talking about abortion all the time. And you talk about abortion and about gay marriage and about, or maybe you argue about liturgy or something, but that's all we do in public. And so people think that that's what we talk about. And at least in my world, not given I run in a fairly philosophical crowd because of where I went to school and everything, when we start, you know, cooking some tri-tip and drinking red wine or something, or, you know, have a cocktail party, we talk about everything under the sun, right? And a really high level of really interesting conversation happens across a ton of different topics. Now, what shocked me is I still, to this day, people to ask me about Mark and I's podcast, and I tell them that we don't talk about theology, we don't talk about politics, and we don't talk about the culture war. And if they're a conservative Roman Catholic, there's a lot of them, especially in Denver, I've noticed this, they look at me and they go, well, then what do you talk about? And I think that is what that podcast was about, and a lot of what this show is about. So we did about 30, 34 episodes. We did a bunch of episodes of the Over the Counter podcast, me and Mark, and that's out there. You can go check them out on YouTube. I mean, on iTunes. And we need to start doing them again because I really enjoy it. And so I kind of got a feel for this broadcast thing. I liked talking into a microphone and discussing things with people. Now that's a very different demographic. That's a different dynamic, because that's me in constant conversation with the same person over and over again. We've had a few guests on, but for the most part, it's me and Mark talking about something one of us saw and some idea that we've been kind of like working on over the counter. And so I kind of gotten this feel for that, right? So right about that same time, or maybe even a little before, I can remember I started developing a good friendship with Chris Stefanik, because Chris has his offices in the same building, and we have a mutual friend in Justin Schneer. So go ahead and drink if you're listening. Justin Schneer has been mentioned, so you have to drink. I think I am the only Catholic media show of any kind with a drinking game attached to it. I need to get the official rules out there, because I mean, you just end up drinking because I say his name all the time. That's the 90% of the drinks happen because I mentioned my best friend. So Chris and I, so shout out to Chris Stefanik, who is busy as all get out right now. I was kind of hoping to get him on the show again soon, but he is about to be the MC and the host of the entire English speaking section of the World Youth Day in Poland. So he's just kind of like herding cats and traveling like crazy right now. So Chris and I were just sitting and talking one day, and I kind of got on one of my rants, kind of like going, you know, this and this, and here's a quote, and you know, the thing is, and here's a scripture and this little anecdote. And, you know, and I was kind of just talking Chris's ear off one day sitting in the conference room, and Chris says, you know what? You have good flow. I'm like, why? He goes, you speak well. I mean, like, you have really good flow. I'm like, what does that mean? What does that even mean? You know? And it's like, you know, you kind of explain it to him. Like, oh, okay. Yeah. So, and I kind of realized this is like that you should do some kind of media thing. So this was right before. So we ended up doing the, this podcast, and that evolved, and that became really fun, and I liked it. So, that just kind of got me thinking about, okay, well, what's possible? We were kind of thinking about what's possible with this podcast. Both of us were talking about maybe doing our own projects, maybe doing a solo podcast. I was thinking about maybe doing something like this on my own, just throwing it out there on iTunes and seeing what happened, right? And in the middle of that, something providential happened. And all this stuff kind of came together, right? And so when that happened, this opportunity just came on, got dropped in my lap in a really weird way. And so that's what we're going to talk about in the second segment a little bit. I'm going to go on, and then I'm going to talk a little bit about what it was like, what it's like doing this show, what it means to me, and then throw some more gratitude shout outs out. And when we go to the end, and then I want to talk about where the show is going to go. So let's head off to the break. You're listening to The Counter Position. I am your host, Andrew Whaley.
Lynn Howe, we crave a hanging and it's dark.
Breadbox Media invites you to Bless the Yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit breadboxmedia.com.
People singing, please don't stay, but please don't go.
Welcome back to The Counter Position. I am your humble host, Andrew Whaley, here on Breadbox Media. All right, so When last we left our hero, I was being affirmed in my flow by Chris Stefanik. So mad shout out to Chris Stefanik. As you'll see, he has played a major role in this situation for me. And a lot of things, actually. I think if I ever get married, the first kid might end up Christopher Whaley. It's like Christopher Justin Whaley. There's been some fighting about that Justin Christopher Whaley, Justifer Whaley. I mean, where, you know, there's been some conversation. So Chris knows Leo Brown, the founder of Breadbox Media. And they were on the phone, they were talking, and I think he was kind of like trying to rope Chris into this crazy Breadbox thing. Chris is just like, I mean, Chris is like one of my best friends. I have to schedule time a month in advance to have a cup of coffee with him. The guy is the single hardest working, busiest guy I have ever met in my life. Chris was just like, no way he was going to be able to do that. I mean, I think he missed out. I'm going to tease him about it. It's like, so Chris was like, hey, I got a guy that I think would be perfect for this. Would you be willing to talk to him? He said, yeah. So I get an email introducing me to this guy, Leo Brown, right? Who's the founder of Breadbox Media, the host of the Leo Brown Almost Hour, I think it's called, on Breadbox Media here. And so Leo calls me up and we just hit it off immediately. And he was like, yeah, you're going to be great. I think you'll be great at this. Yeah, let's do it. So I sign on to do a daily show or a Monday through Friday show. So I had no idea what I was getting myself into. So I, you know, I ordered the headset microphone. I started, like, tried to get it set up or, you know, and I did my show. And it was funny. The first time, if you go back and look at that first, you know, 5 to 10 shows, it's kind of my greatest hits. It's all the stuff that I rant on, all the ideas that I have, all the stories that people have heard over and over again. I thought I'm never going to run out of anything to say because I was just all the stuff that comes up all the time, all my well-worn stories and material and stuff kind of went into that first. And then I had to kind of like slowly figure out how to not pull from my past and ideas that were well worn and then do something else. So I started doing the show and I really dug it. I started realizing it was super fun. At first it really freaked me out because I would record my show when I was having really bad technical problems. There was some weird static coming on. Some of those old shows, you'll hear static coming into the feed. I was doing everything. I tried to figure it out. I switched headphones. I wrapped dryer sheets around the wire on the headphone at one point. I did everything I could because this is so entrepreneurial. It's so grassroots, this Breadbox thing, that we kind of do our own tech on site. And if you're a listener, you know that I'm really bad at it, right? And because, I mean, sound engineering, sound tech is a science in itself, right? I mean, you know, it's hard to get a good, consistent, solid, clean sound when you're in a real pro studio all the time with people who know what they're doing. And so a bunch of yahoos like, this is trying to, and if you have the skill set to be ADD enough to think about some patterns and ideas and stuff between what's going on in the news and what you were reading and what the gospel was this weekend and all that, you probably don't have the skill set to be technical on that stuff. So the initial stuff was kind of a technical challenge and we lost I tried to do interviews. I bought gear and it didn't work and we lost interviews. It was just a pain. In the last year, I've been through 3 sets of gear and all these different things. And I finally landed on real microphones and the tech that I'm using now. And I think the show sounds pretty decent. Now I'm having to learn how to do, you know, mic control because I have a big fat microphone in my face with a foam ball on the end of it and stuff. And I'm having to learn where to, you know, how to do all that. But so there was that odyssey. There was this tech odyssey. But what was been more interesting is, you know, because of the technology problem, I wasn't able to start doing interviews. I thought I was going to be doing interviews 2-3 days a week. And I had trouble with it at first in the in-person interviews. And I didn't always have access to strong enough, I thought, to strong enough Wi-Fi to do distance interviews all the time. And so by default, I ended up having to do a lot of commentary. I ended up having to do what I'm doing right now, just talking to you guys, you know? And that kind of turned into the primary style of the show. Almost by accident, I thought that I would be probably almost half interview. And it just didn't work. I had to just keep coming up with stuff to say. I had to keep, and that kind of has, it's inculcated to me kind of a certain type of engagement with reality, a certain kind of spirituality even, where I have to let myself be open to things. I have to examine my experience of things. I have to try to understand what is underneath something when I see it. When I see a bunch of stuff that looks kind of the same, I have to ask myself, is there a deeper principle here? Is something that could be a theme that we could talk about these things? I had to learn how to capture. I have ideas 24/7, especially like when I'm driving in my car. I had to download stuff on my phone and get tech together where with a couple of moves real fast, I could capture something so that I could then remember that I wanted to talk about it on the show, because I have a really bad memory. I know it doesn't sound like it sometimes because I can remember long passages or something, or that's just, I don't know what it is. There's some things that I can remember for a long time, Big Lebowski movie quotes being one of them. But I have a really bad memory and a really short attention span. So I had to start learning how to capture, and it's made me more aware. I've talked about this before, but it was like when I became a wine steward and I learned how to taste wine, it changed the way I experienced wine. It also changed the way that I experienced food. It changed the way I experienced anything in the realm of taste, but it also changed the way I experienced just my daily life through my senses, through smell and sight. And texture, it changed the way that I viewed those things, the way that I felt, the way I processed those things, the way I remembered those things. And so, yeah, it changed the way I tasted a bottle of wine, but it changed the way that I, experienced walking through a hardware store. You know, someone would cut a fresh oak board and I could smell that sweet vanillin that imparts its character to like an American Chardonnay or something, you know? Well, there's something similar has happened with this. Having to be conscious of my experience and conscious of, you know, the principles and things under and the trends and patterns underlying events and stuff has made me more aware of reality. And I float through less. I'm more engaged with the things I hear about my surroundings, and I'm pay way more attention to my own heart now, and to my own experience, to my own thinking about things, and because I'm constantly mining reality for some little nuggets, some little insights, some little connections, some little way that I can bring something to you that you would be interested in. And, I've always been a fairly disclosive person. I'm not a super private person for the most part. I've always been very fine with sharing my feelings about things or something, but I've had to be kind of daring at times in this first year. And, I've had to learn to overcome the fear a little bit and to sometimes just take my heart out and sew it on my sleeve and say, here it is. Here's what's going on. Here's who I am. Here's what I experienced today. You know, and there's been things that I've chickened out on. There's been things that have happened to me that have hurt really, really bad and kind of shut me down for a week at a time that I've barely mentioned on the show, because, you know, and I've had to learn how to work that, that fine line between, capturing things from my reality and sharing too much about what happens around me and what people say to me and what, you know, what happens in my environment with other people. You know, it's like I capture all this stuff and then I'll even write it on a bullet point that I'm about to talk about on the show. And I'm like, I can't mention that, you know? So this has been, a tightrope walk in some ways, but it's been a tightrope walk that has been in the discipline of needing to have something done. I know I don't get a show done every Monday through Friday at the moment, but needing to, even when I fail, I'm failing at something as opposed to just not doing it. You know, we used to try to do a new over the counter every week and we didn't always get it done, but we got done most of the time. And, you know, so I fail at doing a Monday through Friday show all the time, but I'm doing it's a Monday through Friday show that I'm failing at, you know? And so that discipline of attempting a clear marker quantitatively has been something that's pushed me in a good way. So, all right. So when we get back, I want to do some more shout outs and I want to, kind of talk about where I want to take the show. So you're listening to The Counterposition. I am your host, Andrew Whitt.
Then all the color glass that painter's palette smash, all the colors of my soul.
Breadbox Media invites you to Bless the Yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit breadboxmedia.com.
I'm a hyena laughing fool. I'm a hero without anyone to save. Love decked myself in toys. I'm a poor and kingly boy. Oh, I'm lovely, and I'm dull.
Welcome back to The Counterposition. I am your humble host, Andrew Whaley, here on Breadbox Media. All right, the fourth segment. The fat boy is coming around the final lap of the open mile. We're about to shut down on the birthday, the contemplative fireside chat that is the 1 year birthday of The Counterposition. All right. So where do we want to go with this thing? Well, I definitely want to get my tech set up so I can do more distance interviews. And I've got that kind of like figured out. I just haven't set it up and done it. And so that is my goal. Another goal is to start doing some really seriously live shows where you can call in. I want to get that going sometimes. And as we go forward in the long run, that will probably become the norm of the show. The moment that this is how I make my living, that will probably become this show. And who knows what'll happen. It might expand. It might change time slots. Who knows? It could do a lot of things when that happens. I guess the main thing I want to do is, there's two related things. This has been a show Breadbox Media is a Catholic media thing. It is a Catholic media group. You're listening to a Catholic station right now. And we are distributed through, a bunch of micro stations that will be either like diocese level or even parish level. And that's playing out right now as we really go on a deep launch of the new app. Breadbox Media, download the app, change the world. I want to talk a little bit about what the definition of Catholic means. So in my coffee world, where I'm helping people build coffee houses, I'm running a coffee house in a Catholic space, I'm talking to people about how to use a coffee space, I start realizing that people think that the word Catholic means Catholics making something that Catholics will be comfortable in for the sake of Catholics being together with other Catholics. And I just never occurred to me, maybe it's because I was an evangelical for a while or in a charismatic. I think of a Catholic thing as something built by Catholics for others or for everyone. And, you know, I'm sitting here looking at my stack of books on my shelf and I see Fyodor Dostoevsky, The Brothers Karamazov. Dostoevsky didn't write The Brothers Karamazov for a Catholic bookstore. He wrote it for everyone. And I think that the problem with a lot of Catholic media today is that we're Catholics making media for other Catholics. And not even just other Catholics, we're making media for that 4 or 5% that are like really sold out, full on the team Catholics. And what Breadbox Media is trying to do is try to at least talk to the other 95%. Some of you who listen are not, you're not like, you know, the full on cheerleader Catholic that's like in mass every Sunday. You're the people I'm talking to. You're the people I want to talk to. And in fact, if I have any goal, especially with the on-demand portion of this show, I want to see this become a thing where ideas are regularly kind of played out that anyone who is mindful or, you know, reflective and cares about reality and has some kind of wonder left in them will have a home. I want to go deeper. I want to go more towards our common heritage of reality and talk more about that, because I think that we tend to dwell on this political and dogmatic and culture war level. And I tend to get into that. I mean, if you listen to the show, I end up ranting about abortion or gay marriage. I mean, I couldn't do a show for 20 shows without talking about the philosophy underneath the transgender thing. Because I think that there's some of these places the rubber meets the road in a really interesting way, right? So, but if anything, I want to double down on that. I want to double down on trying to experience reality as a human person and letting reality show up as it's given, and then talking about it in a way that would be interesting outside of our ideological lens. And to bring some people on and interview them that are not just, you know, from the Catholic world. I want to bring artists and makers on and talk to them about their process and how they work and what that means to them. I want to talk to people who do what they love and who are amazing at it and get some insights on what they figured out in this world. You know what? It's shocking, but I'm going to say something really shocking right now. You ready? People who don't share or even disagree with our belief system as Catholics have wisdom. They have figured some things out that we haven't figured out because they're looking in a different place than we're looking. And, you know, St. Paul said to sift everything, you know, to test everything and keep what is true. And so we're going to try to do some of that. If I find something is true, no matter where it shows up, I'm going to talk about it, and I'm going to bring them on. I'm going to interview them. My goal would be that by the end of the next year, this would be a show that you would want to share with anyone. Anyone who's interested, anyone who has some wonder left in them, anybody who cares about a deep look at reality through the lens of a human person would be like, yeah, that's a great show. Yeah, he's Catholic, and he kind of goes on about that sometimes, but I mean, I'm not, but I mean, it's a really interesting show. I really enjoy it. I mean, that's kind of my goal, is to get even farther outside of that ideological lens. And I may say the same, I tend to think I'm going to come to all the same conclusions, because I firmly believe in the Roman Catholic vision of reality. And I think that, reality's on our side. The second thing is, I think I want to rebrand, and I've been kicking some ideas around. My life is evolving. Sometime in the next year, I'll probably be coming out from behind the counter. I won't be spending as much time in that counter position, and I may be traveling more, meeting more people and chasing down ideas and stories and stuff and everything, and looking for things that are deep. And I have a couple ideas about a new rebrand that could maybe take this farther than the counter. And people have been mistaking what the word counterposition means. They think that I'm the counterpoint. I'm the other side. I'm proposing the other way of looking at it, which often is the case. And it was a play on words, obviously, but most people don't get to play on words. So I've got some ideas around rebranding. So, and one of them is a pretty high concept rebrand. So if you see, you may see something fun coming for that. It'll make the show a little more fun to listen to too. So those are things I want to do. I've got a few minutes left. You know what I want to do? I just want to just off the top of my head, I just want to start thanking a bunch of people. I want to just show a ton of gratitude. First of all, thank you to Leo Brown and all the Jennifer, my producer, Ethan, everybody at Breadbox Media that makes this show happen. This has been a massive blessing in my life. This has been the best thing that's happened to me in a really long time. And sitting here at 1 year, this is the longest relationship I've had in a long time. This show, I spend so much time with this show. It's like my spouse, you know, it may literally be my spouse when it's all said and done. So everyone at Breadbox Media, I want to thank Chris Stefanik for being a friend who's constantly, I mean, Chris is a frigging big deal. He's hosting the entire English speaking aspect of World Youth Day. He's got a show on EWTN. He's got a speaking schedule that he speaks more in a month than I have ever spoken in my life. And the guy has just worked so hard, and he always makes time for me. I may have to push him a little bit and remind him, but he always makes time for me. And my gig in Denver and this gig are equally tied back to, Chris Stefanik. I mean, he has just been a force for good in my life, and his wife Natalie and his kids have opened their home to me. I love coming there. I love cooking with them and hanging out. They've made Denver great for me. The people I want to thank too is Justin and Hope Schneer and everybody out in Ventura, California, especially the Schneers. I mean, Justin and Hope are just like my family. I'm little Wren, their number seven's goddaddy. And that's just a reality that already existed that we made official in some way. They're my extended family. I love those people and those kids like anything. And they have been so supportive of the show. And speaking of Ventura County, you know, Blythe and Kirby Fike, Noel and Adam Maring, the Collinses, Wes and Amina Bancroft, and my new friend in the last several months, Michael and Marcia Miley. I said your name wrong, didn't I? Maria Miley. She's Estonian. It's Maria, but it's spelled differently. Michael's been on the show. He's the drummer for Rival Sons. All those people have been so supportive. All the people that listen and give me feedback from all over the world, people I don't know that send me feedback. Deacon Nick Larkin, Jeff Neal, my old college friends, always so diligent about sending me feedback. I want to thank Perry West and all letting me process ideas all the time, talking to him. And just everybody, my staff at Totally Allegé, Elizabeth Pavelic, Sarah Stacy, especially, who will take a bullet sometimes and cover the counter and let me, go get the show done. So many people, this show has, changed my life, and I think it will continue to do so. And as is my custom, I have ran out of time. Let's pull the plug and pop the cork on another episode of The Counterposition. See you for the next year.
I take your place, marble stone. I take your place, marble stone.